Hey, podcasters, Claire's Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, the one and only Jimmy Barnes.
Kimber gives something a crack in Yanchep.
We got some amazing stories about our listeners being on the telly.
And you won't believe this revenge story.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Claire's Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5. Clean Heat, proudly bringing you The Big Breakfast on the go and helping WA life flow.
Jimmy Barnes, his new album is his 17th solo album, solo studio album in 35 years. What a body of work it is now.
Huge.
Let's be honest. That's apart from Cold Chisel stuff as well. It's called My Criminal Record. It's out tomorrow. We've got a Barnesy special on the radio at midday tomorrow.
Brilliant.
Here on Mix 94.5. It's actually Barnes' first rock album since Rage and Ruin in 2010. He's on the line now. Jimmy Barnes, how are you, champ?
I'm really good. How are you going, guys?
Great. Jimmy, I saw you on Denton's interview. I mean, The man really does his research, doesn't he? It feels like he knows you well.
Well, he actually knows me too well. I remember because I've done some shocking things on his shows over the year.
Yeah.
I remember he introduced me and he had this sort of steps he walked down and around to the, and I jumped over the top and landed next to him and kissed him on the lips. and picked a fight with Rex Mossop on TV. Rex used to say to my wife, said, "Jesus, Jane, you're a handsome-looking bird. How'd you end up with a loser like this?"
There's not enough fights on television anymore.
No, live TV. You used to be able to pick fights. Remember when Normie Rowe?
Normie Rowe.
That's right.
Ron Pacey. It was on the midday show.
That was a cracker.
And, mate, we're here to talk about the new single that's coming out, Shutting Down Our Town, and we know it's about your former hometown in Adelaide, Elizabeth.
Yeah, it was written by Troy, Troy Cassidaly. Yeah. Troy rang me up after he read Working Class Boy, the first book, and he was moved, and he said he wanted to write a song about Elizabeth and about where I was brought up. And when he sent me the song, I just couldn't believe how well he'd captured the atmosphere of growing up in Elizabeth. I mean, I couldn't have written more personal myself, A little snapshot of the life in Elizabeth at the time. The whole town was built around that Holden's factory, and it became part of your life. Holden's, was this iconic Australian brand, and it sort of gave you a sense of pride, and you could support your family and keep your head above water.
Yeah.
And then they sort of pulled the rug out from under and shut the factory down, and really it left a big void, a big hole in people's lives, and really people were scrambling, trying to make things work and try to make ends meet.
Absolutely. Mate, when I got to Adelaide in the late 80s, I didn't know much about Adelaide, and I was moving there for radio, and your old mate, the late David Daisy, he told me all about Adelaide, and he said, "This is what Elizabeth is like." He told me the whole story. And it was a rough part of time.
But it was a tough place. It was one of those places that, they're sort of vicious but fair until, you met people like me and my mates.
And then you're in trouble.
And Ron Casey.
Now, Jimmy, we've been talking a lot for years now about as a society that we need to help our men in Australia and the tragic rates of suicide that we have. And you kept a lot of your private life to yourself for most of your life, and it's only been the last couple of years that you've really opened up. Has that changed your life for the better? Can you see how, we need to sort of get our men to try and share these stories?
Well, listen, the thing is that thing about men not talking and men certainly not saying what their weaknesses are and what their problems are and not talking about them causes all sorts of grief and worry. I grew up in poverty, surrounded by domestic violence and abuse of all sorts, and it was a tough upbringing. And me trying to run away from that and just keep that away from everybody and not talk about it, it nearly killed me. It's all that classic stuff, boys don't cry, keep it to yourself, be a bloody man. I'm as much a man as anybody, but I'm able to sort of sit there and say, look, I'm vulnerable, I don't feel good, I'm not safe, or break down and cry. You've got to be able to do that stuff. You've got to be able to let your emotions out. Otherwise, they fester. And especially things, if you've got problems and you don't talk about them or you don't deal with them, they're just going to rot and fester away and then manifest themselves in some way that's not going to be pretty. That men's suicide rate is closely connected, I reckon, to this whole domestic violence thing. Because not only are we killing ourselves, but we're killing families and we're killing our wives and it's just not on.
Well, Jimmy, a man who was very open with his emotions and the country loved him for it has left us. I'm talking about Prime Minister Bob Hawke. Someone who you posted about in very glowing ways. Any stories about the former PM?
I remember one of the things he really wanted to tackle was, the amount of young blokes particularly who were dying, and they're still the same, who are dying in car wrecks, drunk driving, speeding and all that sort of stuff. He worked out that they weren't going to listen to politicians. And so rather than him being a bloke in a suit, a politician standing saying, hey, don't drink and drive, he started this thing called Street Beat, where he got people like myself to go and say, you know, like, hey, listen, I drink, but I don't drive at the same time. I wouldn't do it, you know.
Yep.
It was a huge loss for the country. But, you know, he lived a great life.
He
celebrated it in many ways. You used to see him at the footy, skull
yeah.
and beer.
The cricket,
you know,
yeah.
Good on him. You know, he's a cracker.
Hey, Jimmy, good to catch up, mate. All the best.
All the best to you guys. Bye.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Testing.
Oh, my gosh, this is amazing.
Hi, it's Fitz with ShamWow.
This is a great product.
Kimber has a crack.
Yes, Kimber has a crack is the unbiased review of products and services.
Oh, this time I went out and I tried the Trees Adventure at the Yanchep National Park.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a good one for the family. Now, this one took some convincing from my 12-year-old niece who asked me to take her along. It is a climbing course through the trees with ropes, wood, zip lines and a bunch of sort of flying fox fun.
Okay.
And it's designed for all ages, 4 to 75 plus, but of course I am afraid of heights. Okay, well I'm here for a beautiful day at Trees Adventure at Yanchep National Park with my niece Poppy. Poppy, you seem a lot more confident than I do.
Well, I have done this a few times, so I'm looking pretty forward to it, but you look kind of scared, so I'm kind of worried.
I actually feel like you're going to be talking me into doing most of this. Are you ready to be my coach?
Well, I guess.
Thank you. Let's do it.
You can see who's in control.
She's so good.
Yeah.
They give you training and the courses range from 2 metres high as the basic easy one up to 25 metres high.
Oh, that's high.
Yeah.
And you get 2 hours to complete whichever courses you like in which order, pretty much. Unless you want to do the toughest one, you have to kind of prove yourself before you can do
one. Oh, okay. Right. Yeah,
but you get the gloves, the helmet, and off you go. And the zip lines are pretty fun too. Okay, well, we did the first course. I did feel nervous. And what course was that again, Poppy?
That was the easiest course and it was green.
Okay, so I've got a little way to go. We're upgrading to the next course and I guess it's going to be just a little bit higher and a little bit trickier. We'll see how we go. It's quite physically demanding, I've got to say.
Yeah.
Like, I did find some of them a little bit of a struggle, but it mainly demands confidence.
Yeah.
I think as soon as I started to feel a bit more confident and just get on with it, and Poppy went ahead of me on all of them. So she was kind of like, Kimber, you can make this one easier if you just put your hand here. And so she was kind of coaching
me. Well, it wasn't her first rodeo, was it?
No, exactly. And once I felt more confident and went with it, it got easier,
right?
I think. And there were little kids doing it around me, so I needed, I just had to get stuck in. It's $48 for adults, $38 for kids 8 to 17, and $25 for kids who are 4 to 7 years.
Okay. Yep.
And that includes the equipment and the training and everything. And then you're just on your own. You get to do it in your own time. You just get out there and have some fun. But you do need to pay an extra $13 per car to get into the Yanchep National Park.
Oh, yes, okay, sure.
So
sure.
Be prepared for that because you do need to pay that. It's a great activity for everyone. So I grabbed a review from Poppy as well. Hey, I did it. I did the green easy course, both the blue courses and the hard red course, which was in preparation for the black course. But Poppy, you needed to talk me into it, didn't you?
Yeah, the red course was definitely a hard course. All the other ones were fun and a little bit challenging. So I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5 cracks. And I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. I'm going to give it 3.5 cracks too. I actually thought it was really fun. I suppose I can't blame anyone else for my lack of upper body strength. So maybe I need to give it 4 cracks, but it was a lot of fun and it's beautiful out here. So great taste of nature. So there you go.
Great.
Trees Adventure, Yanchep National Park. I'm going to commit to 4 cracks. It was actually really fun. It's just that my arms started to hurt.
Sure.
Because the more you do, the harder it gets, right?
Yeah.
Like it just can become quite challenging. But it was so beautiful out there. Very peaceful. Lots of nature and birds and it was gorgeous.
And you've uncovered a bit of new talent.
There's some talent
She's
there.
She's fantastic.
She'll
She's
be doing
so great.
The juice tomorrow morning.
She's so great. Yeah. Thanks, Poppy.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that segment again next time. Auntie Kimber has a crack.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey guys, last night, Today Tonight was on sort of in the background at home.
Yep.
And I was doing a few things, laying my clothes out for a 4 o'clock get dressed this morning.
Good on you.
All of a sudden, on the TV comes a workmate. Listen to this.
Radio presenter Alyssa McNeil was on air at Mix 94.5 when her cat Frankie went missing.
I was horrible and I just felt like such a bad pet mum.
thought she was dead originally, and she had a patch of fur missing on her chest. She had a graze on her chin. Just the rescue effort. I'm so grateful to everyone involved. It was amazing.
So when I had a couple of days off in bed sick this week, Alyssa came in and helped you guys out, put the show to air.
Yes.
Right? In fact, Kimber and Alyssa had a fight about how good Rocket Man the film was.
Oh, they had a bit of a cage fight.
Yeah, we're on different sides of the fence.
Who
on
won?
How good. I think Alyssa, because the more popular vote is that the movie is good.
Yeah. And Alyssa won because she got on TV. It was just freaky. I went, it was one of my workmates. What's she doing on the telly? Well, it was about her lost cat.
Remarkable story of survival for the cat, right?
Yeah, true.
So God knows how it ended up on the freeway.
Yeah.
And someone picked it up, scanned it, and lo and behold, it's Alyssa's cat.
But people love a TV appearance, don't they?
That's
like, if
cool.
you ever get seen on TV, your friends will text you and go, oh, I saw you on TV. Yeah. It's like everyone's little moment in the sun.
How did I look?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. There's something still fascinating about TV. It's still got a bit of magic about it.
Yeah, Laurie's ex-husband, Sandro, works on the boats going to Rottnest. And every now and then, whenever they play a Rotto story, they show him standing at the dock having a laugh. And I go, there's Sandro again. There you go. He's on the telly.
Right. Yeah.
Of course, the time you don't want to be on the telly is when you're having a sickie and you're at the cricket.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and
true.
And the camera pans across the crowd and you've got it wearing a watermelon on your head and you know, one of those tower of
beer cups. Dressed as Richie Benno.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
All of a sudden, a workmate of ours, Alyssa, was on the TV last night.
You were on the TV.
Today, tonight. How good was that? And I'm going, hey, I know her.
I think I've worked in this job for about, I've been here 11 years and my parents didn't care. As soon as I did a TV spot, they were like, oh, she's on TV. TV's the moment. That's when you shine.
You know, the only comment I get whenever I'm on the TV is my mum going, stop touching your beard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, can't help it.
Which is true, mum. Sorry.
Fiddling with the beard again.
We want to know when you've been on TV, what was your special moment in the sun? Marilyn in Forestfield, when were you on there?
Hello. It was 30 years ago and I was on Yarn Event on the Current Affair.
Yarn Event? Okay.
Yeah, because my sister was a surrogate for me because I couldn't have any kids and she had my twin boys and I've just turned 30.
Oh, wow.
We
Brilliant.
Went on to a Current Affair, so it kind of went national. So it was really an awesome moment
and
continues to be an awesome moment because without her I wouldn't have my boys.
Oh, and was your work colleagues and whatnot, were they all impressed with your TV performance?
Oh, definitely.
Still dragging out the VHS, Marilyn, watching it back.
The beta.
I reckon we did actually.
Oh. Hey, Marilyn, here's a big thing, right? So sometimes you see people on TV and you go, they just got their hair done because they knew they were going on TV. Did you get your hair set? Did you get your hair done?
We didn't really have much chance to do anything because it was sort of, they said, we've got to go to air. And funnily enough, we only had girls' names picked out and I picked out one boy name.
Yep.
And they're going, well, come on, we can't say twin two. You've got to come up with a name for this other baby. We've got to go to air. So it was a really rush job about names more than us looking great on TV. So.
Good on you, Marilyn.
Nice, Marilyn. Thanks for your call. Yeah.
Thank you.
There's Marilyn,
Bye.
Who's got a son called Siegfried now, just because of that rush.
Let's go to leader Tracy. When were you on the TV, Tracy?
I was in the Marlowe's ads with Woosha.
Oh, really? With Johnny Worsfold?
Yes.
How'd you get that gig, Tracy? Did you work there at the time?
I was, and we were all there to watch the commercial being made, and they said, oh, we need someone standing at the till. And they turned around, and I was the only girl in uniform, so I got the gig.
Oh, you got the gig. So
it's just like a Star Is Born.
Did you end up on the great catwalks of Milan and the like after that, Trace?
Oh, God, I wish.
Yeah.
I was recognised in the street a couple of times.
This is when you find out how many people are on TV that aren't getting paid for their work, yes. Tracy.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even get a bonus in my pay.
Oh, that sucks.
There's no money in the arts industry, babe, we can tell you.
Oh, you got to hang with a legend from the Eagles.
I know. I bet Woosha was a real prima donna too.
No, thanks, Trace.
Actually, no, he wasn't back then, no.
No, I didn't mean that, Trace.
He was a mild-mannered chemist with the
Absolutely.
Glasses on.
Yes.
He was then, yeah.
Good on you, Trace. Well done.
We got Sam from Balladura. Sam, when were you on TV?
I was on the project about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
What were you chatting about?
I had a presenter come up to me and ask me about the government, but the thing is I don't watch the news.
Right. You just make it up?
Like, what do you think about the newest government scandal? And I just went, oh, it sounds like a bunch of school kids or something.
Oh, well, good answer.
Just ad-libbed.
The only part they actually showed on the project was when they said, would you steal from your own workplace? And at the time, I just had a huge fight with my boss, and I was like, hell no, because the quality's terrible. That's the only part they showed.
What was it like seeing yourself on the telly, though? Was that a bit of a buzz?
Oh, it was great. My parents were proud of me.
Ah, well, that's
good work.
Thanks,
Sam. Thanks,
Sam.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Yes.
And we're talking about when you've had your moment on TV.
Yeah, kids, mum's on the telly.
Awesome.
It's Crime Stoppers,
what's
Jack.
What's she doing? She's under arrest.
Sandra's given us a call from Woodlands. Hey, Sandra, when were you on TV?
Oh, it was way back when almost television hadn't been going too many years. I think it was about 62.
Yeah, right.
And I was down at the Lotteries Commission taking down the numbers when Winifred Atfill came to draw the lottery.
So you're the lotto girl?
Well, sort of. There were lots of girls in there, but a few of us who sort of moved along were chosen to go down to the West Australian and write down the numbers as they came out.
Very so important work.
Winifred Atfill, I remember my nanny used to like Winifred Atfill. Didn't
she
play keyboards?
Yeah,
here she is.
And she was lovely.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, wow.
She went down to everybody, introduced herself and shook hands, and it was really lovely.
Hey. Nice.
That reminds me of my nana. Her name was Nellie. She used to dance to that.
Oh, wow. Don't know how.
Really well, fast.
Lovely to meet you, Sandra.
Just 1 second of being like a little celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, in the early days of TV, as you say.
62.
Yes, yeah. Oh,
wonderful, you, Sandra. You sound fantastic. Thank you.
Okay. And
good on Sandra for sharing there.
Too right. Let's go to East Cannington. Aaron, when were you on the telly, bud?
Oh, gosh, it would have been about 15 years ago, when I lived in Port Hedland.
Yeah.
I used to work at a place called Mitre 10 in Wedgefield.
Yep.
And they did an advert, and there was a scene there where I was greeting a customer and shaking his hand, and every time it came on TV, my mum would give me a text message, or she'd actually give me a call.
You're on again.
You know, when we just got back, when we were on the Coral Coast, and I was sick for one day, and I was at home, and I was watching the telly from the caravan park, and all the ads were like that, where they were all caravan sort of shops, or camping shops, or hardware stores, and everyone was shaking someone's hand and giving
business
expert advice.
Yeah, I used to work in Bunbury, the old GWN ads. Was it one of those, Aaron, all those years ago?
Yeah. It was definitely one of them. And you're right. And very jealous, by the way, of you guys on the Coral Coast.
Oh, mate.
We know. We were very lucky.
Yeah. Tell me about it. You can't beat that lifestyle up there.
It's beautiful.
We said hello to those sharks for you, mate, up there, the whale sharks.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers,
good on
Aaron.
You, buddy. That's why the actors in Port Hedland aren't getting any work, because they're using all the stuff.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, let's go to Thornley. G'day, Ronnie. When were you on TV, Ron?
Back in the 80s, I was in year 12 at high school. I went to high school with Matt, so hi, Matt.
Hello.
There you go.
Yeah, and I sort of wagged one day and went to the cricket, you know, kind of nerdy, but we won't go there.
That's all right.
And they did that shot at the cricket. I don't think they do it so much now. We have the banks there. And my friend and I were sort of like in bikinis, in sarongs, and doing all that sort of stuff. And I did that shot where they pan across at the girls walking across. And my dad was at home watching the cricket and going, oh, yeah, there's these nice-looking girls. Wait a minute. So, my life of crime didn't last very long.
Busted.
Wagon school at the cricket.
Yeah.
Love it. Way to bring attention to yourself too.
Yeah, missing a day at Cannington High, I didn't think it was going to be a big deal, but never mind.
Yeah, we know the shot, the pervy shot you're talking about, Ronnie, and directors are not allowed to do it anymore.
No, they don't do that anymore.
So, there's a lot more people that I don't think it's a thing anymore, people going to the cricket and wagging school, but
Nice to hear your voice, Ronnie. Cheers.
In the bikini, right there.
And Karen from Ocean Reef, when was your moment on telly?
Well, funnily enough, I got a knock on my front door.
Yeah.
And Claire and Matt were at my front door with a TV crew and gave me $10,000.
Yes!
Karen!
I remember it well.
You must have been a block win.
I was so embarrassing. I was screaming.
I remember it well.
Remember it very well.
My ears have never been the same.
Yeah. I think we might have left a big check at your place, Karen. That was a pretty good day.
Big check.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
And my new kitchen that went to my new kitchen.
That's right.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, well done.
And I had all the kids over for dinner when I got the big check, and we watched it on the telly when it came on the telly.
Hey. Oh, Oh, darling, that's awesome.
Good on you, Karen.
Yeah, you guys give the best hugs. I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you, Kimber.
Oh, sorry, Karen. I don't know where I was.
Yeah, you went well that day. Missing. Yeah, I remember it well. And we got 47 hugs each.
Good.
Dave was good. Thanks, Karen.
Good on you, Karen.
Oh, there's a memory for you. Yeah. Telly.
Breakfast with the Lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Kit Harington, who played Jon Snow on the Game of Thrones series for 8 years, has checked in not so secretly into luxury rehab.
I need you with me if we're going to beat them, and we need to beat them if you're going to survive.
It's a terribly sad story. He's undergoing psychological coaching, practicing mindful meditation and cognitive behavioural therapy to combat the stress and to deal with negative emotions that he's experienced since finishing Game of Thrones, the series.
Really?
Right.
Yes, okay. Apparently, you know, and I know that psychologists are saying people would feel this way just by being viewers.
Yeah.
But he's in the clinic predominantly for stress and exhaustion and also a bit of alcohol abuse. But he told Esquire magazine in April that he had a full-on breakdown after filming the final scenes for Game of Thrones.
Right.
And that he felt that he was being skinned when taking off his Jon Snow costume.
Wow.
I guess 8 years was maybe too long in the character for him. He said, my final day of shooting, I felt fine. And then I went to do my last shots and I just started hyperventilating.
Oh, dear.
And he said, they called rap and I absolutely broke down. He said, it was this onslaught of relief and grief about not being able to do this ever again.
Right.
And so he's really struggling. And so he's checked into rehab and hopefully they'll be able to help him there. Also, they talk about trying to help people. They charge you $120,000 a month at this rehab
clinic. I was going to say, yes, at least he does have the money to help himself.
To help himself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no cheap facility, is it?
No,
it's amazing.
It's not. I mean, I know it's luxury, but $120,000 a month. Yikes.
Yeah. Before you move on, Kimber, we feel for him. We wish him all the best. But have a listen to the voice. He sounds so much like James Corden.
I need you with me if we're going to beat them, and we need to beat them if you're going to survive.
He sounds like James Corden.
Yeah, he does a bit.
It's freaky, man. Incredible.
I can hear that now. You said it. Now, guys, rock legend Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce.
Brucey. He turned 70 in September.
Wow.
And he has revealed plans to take the E Street Band back on the road.
Yeah.
He said, we're going on tour next year. He said, I'll record with the E Street Band in the autumn, and when we're done, we're going to go on tour. And as well as a new tour and album, he's also confirmed a documentary, which is set for release on June 14.
Mm.
He said, I'm very happy. We shot a backstage film in which we filmed the whole recording process from start to finish at my house. And the album contains many small narratives set in the American West.
Okay. Well, I've got to say, when we saw him, what was that, a year ago, maybe a little bit more?
A little bit more, yeah.
So we're 68, and his energy then blew me away.
He's so fit, isn't he?
Yeah. 4 hours, nonstop. It was incredible.
And he throws himself around the arena. Yeah. He runs around and...
He just proves it all night.
And sculled a beer.
He does too.
Bob Hawke style.
Yeah.
Good on you, Bruce.
Yeah, amazing. Good on you, Brucey. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
And Sir Michael Parkinson is currently preparing for a newly announced Australian tour, and he said this could be his last visit to Australia.
Right, okay.
In October, he's going to be visiting Perth, Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, and he's taking to the stage and he's facing questions from his son, Mike, which I think is a really interesting choice. He said that he believes there are two key ingredients to a good interview, and he is a master at interviews.
Wonderful interviewer, yeah.
And he said the two key ingredients are background research and establishing trust.
Yes.
And he said, my son has a natural advantage when it comes to knowing a thing or two about his father.
But does he trust him?
And
do you trust anyone who calls you the same name?
No.
Michael Parkinson?
Mike, yeah, true. Yes, Mike.
And he said, look, I'm 84 now. I still feel able and up to talking and performing. I'm not totally Gaga. I'm heading that way, but I'm not there yet.
Oh, he's lost his marbles.
Yeah, 84.
Wow.
So that'll be a good show. I'd be interested to see that dynamic between father and son.
That was a staple of my growing up, us watching Parky on the TV.
Yeah.
The whole family.
He was very lovable, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, he'll be here soon. And that is your Daily Juice.
Now, Parky's 84 and Bruce Springsteen and Billy Joel are 70. How bizarre is that?
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Doing it this morning for our friends at Clean Heat, the WA gas company helping life flow.
It's getting harder to find ways to support WA stuff, isn't it? But these guys are at home in WA providing award-winning service.
And it is quick and easy to switch online. You can do that at cleanheat.com.au.
Yeah, or call 1321 80 and switch today.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings one news with the occasional bizarre twist.
No. She's really good. Next week, something new, boys. Come on.
Hey, mate, I promise we'll be more supportive on this.
You're more creative than that.
If you've got better material.
Well, the story's good, so it's nothing about me. We're talking this morning about Colombian man Juaro Vargas. And Juaro's been a very naughty boy.
Great name, too.
Yeah, great name. He was caught by his wife in a motel room with a woman who wasn't her.
Haven't you heard about the guy known as the cheater?
The cheater!
Oh.
Hey.
Now, Juaro was full of remorse because he was caught.
Yeah.
Had he not been caught, no problem.
It's a nasty business, that.
Yeah, his name would have been scot-free.
Yeah, but he was caught and he was desperate to save his marriage, right? So he said to his wife, "What can I do to save our marriage?" Mm-hmm. But of course, in Colombian, he said it in Spanish.
Sure.
So he said, "Que Pablo hasa para salvar el nuestro matrimonio."
Sure. Right?
Nice
sure.
one.
Now, as we know, words are easy, right? Words, whatever. Mm. And he should have done what I do when I need to apologize, and that's call on the lyrical sounds of Peter Cetera.
Oh,
a bit of Chicago mush.
It's hard for me to say I'm sorry.
What
but
a
he was
song.
Sorry.
You play that. Make him a cup of tea and say, "Honey, that thing in the motel, let it go.
She meant nothing.
I'm sorry.
But it's not enough for everyone."
Well, she said, "Okay, I'll take you back on one condition.
Right.
You nude up, you lay on the roof of our car, and you let me parade you around the streets of our city."
Oh, God.
She's right? gone the humiliation
She's
angle.
She's got, in proper old school middle ages, put you in stocks and have public humiliation. He was filmed and he was laughed at and ridiculed.
I can read you.
People have been doing
She's
that ridicule.
She's just driving him
She's
around,
driving
on, the roof
him
of
around
the car.
On the roof of the car.
Naked. Right.
Naked.
And then they're going to be together after that.
Well, apparently.
Oh, dear.
I'm not sure that therapists do recommend that kind of,
No, but that's the perfect. Also, you go, "Let's do this. That's what I'm going to take you back on." Then you do it. And then you go,
"Don't take him back.
Actually, I've changed my mind."
Oh, you are.
That's harsh.
Wow. No, you know, it's him in the motel room.
Wouldn't he be better off
on yourself,
public
mate?
Stoning or something? You know, like, isn't that awful?
Yes, it is.
Humiliation.
Although, finally, the cops did intervene and they were both fined $220 for public nuisance.
And public nudity, I guess.
But the footage is awful because he's
horrible.
Laying on the car with his sort of head down in a jumper, in a hoodie.
In Australia, we're not even allowed to put your hand out the car. You can't even hang your arm out
you
the side
can't.
Of the car.
No, no.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Tomorrow, it's back, Matt's Hits from Your Hood.
Yes, just after 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'll be dropping Belmont, which, of course, is always good fun. I love this part of my job. And yesterday, I had a little visitation from the wonderful Perth Symphony Orchestra, who I've worked with a few times now.
Why did visitation sound like you were in prison then? Felt like
did
something.
It?
No conjugal visit, though.
Yeah. No. Coming in here every morning. No, not at all. But a couple of wonderful performers from this show, Girls' Night Out, that's on at the Astor on Thursday and Friday night.
Super.
And it's a celebration of International Women's Day and girl power and whatnot. So all of the singers on stage are females. The conductor, the orchestra.
Yep.
You know, I'll
Perfect.
Be wearing a dress. You know, everything's happening.
Nothing unusual there.
And they're doing some, I think the right term is kick-ass female songs. You know, powerful songs.
Oh, yeah,
from,
great.
Aretha Franklin and Beyonce and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So they came and joined me yesterday. And here's a little tease of what you'll hear on Friday.
Oh, I've got the whole song. No, just a snippet.
Down at Reading, see the movies cheaply. I hear those airplanes, I can touch them nearly.
Nice.
It's so great, for goodness sake, let's get saucy at Tomato Lake, yeah.
Twist.
Nice.
Oh. Hey, that's clever. I see where you're going
Queen
with this.
Queen of Soul.
Yeah, Dutinsky goes Motown.
We've sort of worked it out here.
We see where the Belmont bit might be coming in.
Okay. Oh,
clever.
Barry Gordy would be proud. Going
Who's
Motown.
That?
He's the boss of Motown. He's the man.
He?
Started the whole thing.
See, I'm learning.
You're going to have to get more Motown.
Oh, really? Yeah. Everything Perth. For Brekkie, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt
and Kimber. Shut up, the boy is on the radio. He's one of the hottest rising stars in the AFL.
Great short, brilliant goal.
And he's our man inside the Dockers. Let's talk footy with Andrew Brayshaw for Automasters.
The problem with being home for 2 days, I've watched the game 5 times. Because I was homesick. Not sick enough to not watch the footy. A great 1-point win after the siren. Eddie, good to see you, mate.
Good to see you guys too. I heard you lost your voice at the footy screaming for us after the siren.
I did, yeah. Funny that, isn't it? Yeah. Good reason to have 2 days off.
And now, look, we called Lachie Neal for his birthday last week. And while he didn't answer the phone, I hear that Lachie did join you guys out for a celebration at Benny's after the game.
Yes, I think he wanted it to be a draw. We went out for dinner afterwards at Benny's. Just caught up with him and his wife, and yeah, it was good to see him and the family. So a few of the boys went, and it was a really good night.
I heard there
really
were lots of boys there.
Yeah,
did you
kids?
Make some fans?
Yeah, we had, I think it was an East Fremantle football team that were there as well at dinner, and they couldn't believe their eyes when they saw half the Dockers team walking in and Lockie as well. So we got some photos with them and signed a few things, and yeah, that made their night, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
cute.
Great.
And mate, really, you know, positive for start to the year. I say start to the year already at round 10. There you are in the eight. And I noticed the Eagles are fifth, and I'm surprised the media hasn't gone, if things stay the same, they'll meet in the first week of the finals.
Yeah, I know. It is really good to get that win. We were just talking about it before, the difference between 6-4 and 5-5. It sounds like really big, and it feels really big. So there's been a lot of games where we thought we could have won, and we've just let it slip. So it really meant a lot to get that win.
You could see that, yeah.
Yeah, it's happened with Freo a couple of times in the last 3 years. Dave Mundy kicked a goal after the siren against Richmond at the G. And what's it like as a player on the field? You're a teammate. You've got one teammate that's got the full responsibility to win the game. And he didn't balk when the siren went either. He went ahead with his kick.
What? Yeah, it's can be nerve-wracking, I think. I've been in a final in my junior career when we had a player after the siren kick a goal, and that was great. But if I had to pick two players that I wanted to kick after the siren, it would be Dave and Sonny. So I had a lot of confidence in Sonny. He's got probably one of the best set shots at the club and is a big moment player. So when he took the mark and the siren went, I looked at Fifey and I just thought Sonny's going to go back and at least score. That's what I was definitely thinking. And then after he kicked it, I thought it might drop short, but it got there and hit the post. And it was probably the best feeling that I've had in a very long time.
When you're about to walk out on stage at the Sydney Comedy Store, the last thing you see is a sign saying you're about to die on your ass, right?
Nice.
In football, would it be absolutely no-go for someone to walk past Sonny and go, don't miss it, mate, don't stop it.
I wouldn't be saying anything to him, just let him go through his routine.
The routine's important.
But it's also, if you kick a point in third quarter, you get angry boss eyes from Ross, but you kick that point after the siren and you're a hero.
It's a little bit interesting when you think about it like that, because Sonny would usually be down on himself for kicking a point, but it got the win, so that's all that we needed.
It was a beautiful sound thumping into the post. What about cuddly kissy Ross Lyon?
He was very happy after the game getting around the boys, which is good. I guess showing your emotion after the game. He's a passionate man and he definitely wanted us to get that win as much as anyone. So it was great to see him getting around the boys after the game.
And now reset. And I guess it's one of the biggest challenges in the game at the moment, Collingwood at the MCG.
Yeah, exactly right. They are definitely one of the most formidable teams this year. And we've definitely got our work cut out for us, but we're going to get on the bird on Thursday morning and get over there and try and get the win.
Okay, mate. Formidable. Such a good word, isn't it?
It's a great word. Yeah.
Mate, how's life post Game of Thrones? What are you doing with yourself? You're watching something else? What are you doing?
I've got uni exams coming up over the next few weeks.
Don't worry about that, son. You'll be right.
Go save the dragons.
A few of the boys are pretty flat. On our first Monday night after Game of Thrones, everyone came in the next day and just said, what are we doing?
Is that why Ross was so emotional?
That's why.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, mate, good to see you. Good luck against the Pies on the weekend.
Thanks very much, guys. Clean Heat, hope you enjoyed the show. Now let life flow. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.